Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
How about it? Off and rolling. New week, Monday, September 9, 2024 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G underscore Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
Good weekend? Solid
weekend? Yeah.
Good to hear. I'm a little tired, man.
Very chill weekend.
I'm a little tired. Had the pops in town. I was all over town this weekend. And we had a good time at the Tiger game. I wish there was more fans in the stands, though. I know that's something I'm going to bring up here in just a moment. But the Tigers get the win 38-17 over Troy, and I think that is a good sign looking at the rest of the schedule, but they have a massive week ahead as they're going to be playing Florida State on the road, and that line keeps moving around. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. As far as guests are concerned, we're going to have Roman Cleary at 4:30. I want to get back into the Tiger basketball stuff. Everything is slowed down, at least for right now. We'll see what happens with an NCAA investigation, but Roman's going to join. He's from Bluff City Media. He covers Tiger basketball. He's the beat reporter for Bluff City Media. So we will discuss with him how he feels, what's going on, and what could be coming down the pike. 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join from CBS Sports. Then 6 o'clock, as we do every single Monday, Harold Grader will join the show, the Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. I wonder if he's a little more tired than me. He was at Memphis. He pulled the doubleheader. Get this, Connor. Went to Memphis, then drove to Tuscaloosa on Saturday to go watch that game.
Wow.
Which, by the way, was very close until the fourth quarter. Did you see that takeoff?
Oh, it was a game until it was not.
It was 14-13 going into the fourth quarter. Alabama rails off 28 straight points. That got out of hand quickly. But USF is going to be a problem this year. That's a game you need to circle if you're the Tigers. But we'll hop into the Blitz at 6:30. Small talk 5:50. Whole thing. I think in small talk we need to do a little bit of an ode to a legend.
Man,
who just got the news that passed. James Earl Jones.
Awful. Rest in peace.
93 years old. You should have heard Connor in the side.
It's stadium. A monumental loss.
It is
monumental.
It is. I mean, I didn't know what happened when Connor had this visceral reaction in the side studio when we were doing our pre-show meeting. But damn, that was not news I wanted to hear by any stretch of the imagination. Now, I want to start with college football. We had week two this week. Memphis played Troy in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. 38-17. And I honestly, this is what I expected them to look like week one against North Alabama. Right? I mean, a closer game, no doubt, because you're playing a better competition in Troy. But that was workmanlike as you could possibly imagine. I was impressed with the run game after a week where they looked miserable in the run. Mario Anderson Jr., I was glad to see, like, he's had a couple of stops. South Carolina, had a couple of good games there, but this is probably his best game, his career day as a collegiate player. 17 rushes, 125 yards, 2 TDs, had 4 catches for 23 yards. I was very, very impressed with him. I know it was a week after losing Sutton Smith in game one, but Greg DeRosier as well, their other back, I'm impressed with him as well. He had 8 carries for 59 yards. He's able to do some things in the pass game, although he wasn't, you know, able to get it going this week. But I was impressed. It was workmanlike, and I think the defense really made me feel as if it was workmanlike. They knocked out the Troy starter, Goose Crowder, early in that game. And after that, Matthew Caldwell came in. They held them down, 34 carries for 101 yards. That's what Troy wanted to do. That's what they wanted to do, a 3.0 average on yards per carry. They didn't let Troy exploit them in the passing game. I think that defense has improved, but here's my problem, Connor. We always get to this point early in the season, the past couple of years, where we're saying, okay, this defense can be something. I'm impressed with the talent they have. They really look like they have it going in the right direction. But then, generally, there's a game out there or two that get you off of that bandwagon and make you start thinking differently. I'm not ready to say that this defense is going to be one of the best we've seen since 2014, but it's definitely trending that direction.
Well, we'll probably find out this week. This is a huge week for that defense. But it felt like on Saturday there was a point trying to be proved by Ryan Silverfield, the Memphis Tigers, and it was we could run the football. That, yep. Like, when I was watching that game, I was like, oh, they're trying to – I don't know who they were trying to prove the point to. It may have been themselves.
Yeah.
But they were definitely like, we're going to go out here and we're going to run that ball down their throat. They ran the ball 29 times and they only threw the ball 30 times. So yeah. It really felt like to me they were trying to show themselves that that running game is very real.
A 7.3 average coming off a week where you had a 2.3 average.
Pretty good.
Pretty damn good. Four rushing touchdowns, 29 carries for 211 yards.
Better team,
yards.
Too. Against the better team.
And heading into next week, this is what they're going to have to do.
Yes.
I mean, Georgia Tech and Boston College, they didn't make any ifs, ands, or buts about it. They were going to run the ball on Florida State, exploit their front seven that we thought was not going to be as exploitable as it has shown to be. This is what Memphis is going to have to, you know, base their game plan off of. We've seen what hurts Florida State, and it's mostly running between the tackles going directly at them. And I thought they did a really good job of that. And I think the Tigers have the back to go do that. Mario Anderson Jr., that was a very, very good performance from him. I was very impressed. Did we like John Morant? John Morant,
yeah, that
down
was
on
nice.
The field.
That was cool.
Really cool. I saw Jonah Gamble after one of the touchdowns that Mario had walk up and dap him up. Trent Holler, the center, did the exact same thing. It's cool to see Ja show up. This is a college football program in the Group of Five getting that type of publicity from an absolute celebrity and superstar. That was very cool to see.
I mean, probably one of the biggest celebrities that has ever gone to a Tigers game.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so. And it looked like he enjoyed himself.
Stayed there
for about the entire game.
Isaac Bruce was there. The 93 team.
I did tell Isaac because I ended up getting a picture because my dad was in town and we used to always go to the St. Louis Rams games growing up. I mean, I would go to
eight. Oh, so Isaac's like your guy. He's got to be.
Hearing Bruce every time he caught a ball. I mean, it was really cool to have that moment with my dad, though. Although we did have the Mid-South Coliseum in the background of the picture. I sent it over to Ryan and said, had a hell of a time today at the game. And he said, well, I the Mid-South Coliseum in the background. you got to be careful. You should have turned around and at least showed the Liberty Hole in the state it's in right now. But that was really cool. But heading into this week, this game, I don't know how to feel about it. Because I think Florida State, I keep telling you guys this, don't know if there's a massive redeeming quality about that team. You thought it would be D-line, O-line. That's not how it worked. In that last game they played against Boston College, they got rushed on for 263 yards by Boston College, only ran for 21. So that would tell you the D-line and O-line aren't the redeeming quality of this team. DJU certainly isn't that guy. They don't have skill players on the outside. Their secondary is middling at best. Their linebackers, certainly not great. But at the same time, I'm looking at this line, and last week it opened at 1.5-point favorites for Florida State. It has grown all the way to 7.5 before this game that we'll watch at 11 a.m. in Don Campbell Stadium on Saturday. And I think what Vegas is seeing, and this is what I see, this is what you guys should see out there, another week, extra week of preparation for Florida State and a team that should theoretically give you their best shot because they're backed against the wall. They're 0-2 overall and 0-2 in the ACC before they've even gotten to week three. So this is going to be a team that should be hungry, should give you their best shot, and they have an extra week of practice. And maybe that's why the line's looking the way it is. I still feel good about what Memphis can do to exploit them, but they're going to have to go do it on Saturday, and they definitely have a little bit of a disadvantage on the road dealing with a team that's going to be desperate.
I have begun to get the sense that some people are going to be legitimately disappointed if Memphis doesn't win that game. And that's just kind of a tough place for, I think, to be.
Well, it also speaks to expectations and what you feel like this team should be able to accomplish.
Sure.
How hyped up you are about them. It's a blessing and a curse. It's always a double-edged sword to have expectations to win games like that on the road against a premier program. But also, if you weren't good enough, no one would even be thinking this way. No one would even, if you didn't have hype around your program, if you didn't have people supporting the program, they wouldn't give it a second thought. They'd be indifferent about it. Oh, free shot. We'll see what happens.
Do you still think that it is a quote unquote free shot for Memphis?
Absolutely not.
When it comes to the playoff?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Well, when it comes to the playoff, that's a different conversation. I think if they win this game, they give themselves a lot more wiggle room. You could potentially, lose a game in conference, and you're going to have four games on the road that are tough. Navy, South Florida, UTSA, and Tulane. So you would have more wiggle room to potentially lose one of those games, still go 11-1 and put yourself in the driver's seat to be in the college football playoff. But if you lose it, you just lose wiggle room at this point. And I wonder what Florida State will look like at the end of the year. They could potentially save their season. They could be a 7-5, 8-4 team. And if you lose a close game to a 7-5 or 8-4 Florida State team, which right now I wouldn't bet on them being that, but if you lose to a team like that, you're not going to get docked crazy, right, in the end of the day. But I don't think anybody should make – there should be no question. This is not the free shot we thought it was going to be. There's just no question about that. This was a top 10 team in the AP preseason poll with a bunch of hype around them, with all these different pieces, with Mike Norvell as one of the best sitting head coaches in college football. And now it's a team that's lost to Georgia Tech, who lost to Syracuse this week, and Boston College in year one with Bill O'Brien. There's no way to make this the free shot it was as we went into the season.
So do you think the key is going to be running that football?
At least pace the game that way. I still think what Memphis can do, and they didn't even have to do it against Troy, which I was impressed with. Seth Hennigan, 20 for 30, workmanlike, 161, one TD, took care of the ball. He didn't get sacked either, so I thought the O-line held up really well in pass protection. They can still exploit Florida State's secondary. They have the pieces to go do that with. Damir Blankensy, Rock Taylor, Kobe Drake. Brendan Doyle has 2 touchdowns in 2 weeks as their sort of backup tight end. Anthony Lanfear, solid tight end. I think they have the weapons on the outside to go make that happen, but they're going to have to pace the game with that run game. Don't think about it any differently. This Florida State team has shown how exploitable they are in their front seven and, you know, you going against them with your front seven. And I think the Tigers have some good linebackers, but I still think a good pass game should be a part of this game plan, but you have to pace the game the right way. You can't have a rushing attack lack of a rushing attack like you had in that North Alabama game and expect to go win that game on the road as 7.5-point dogs.
Right, and that's why it really felt like to me this week they said, we have got to make sure that we can get that running game going. And whether they're trying to prove it to everybody else or themselves, they showed that they should be able to run the football. And like you said, Georgia Tech and Boston College, the way they beat Florida State was running the football. Now, I will say, They did have a bit more mobile quarterbacks than Seth Hennigan, and that did open up some opportunity on the offensive end for
100%.
Both of them. So that is where I do wish that Seth had had better games his first two games. I'm not saying they're bad by any means, but just, I don't know, a bit, I'm a little concerned about it. Just like 10% concerned about his mobility.
So I was hearing on Jason and John today, and they were talking about percentage chance that the Tigers go on the road and win this game. John down. Like, this does not feel confident. And I honestly, looking at the line movement, Vegas usually knows what's up. You know, they don't give away free rooms for nothing in Vegas. but I look at what they have out there, and it concerns me a little bit. He gave it a 5% chance.
Oh, no.
That's a little much. I agree more with Jason. I'm more on the side. He said about a 40% chance the Tigers
would
go on the road.
I was going to say 35. Yeah, 35%.
It's still going to be tough. You're on the road in a tough environment against a team that's desperate with an extra week of preparation. And what does bother me ultimately about all those external factors right there that I just mentioned is at the end of the year, you're just going to look at it as a W or an L. And no one's gonna like, if you get to committee time and they're talking about that Florida State game and the Tigers have lost close, like, that's not going. Those external factors are not going to help you in those conversations.
The key word in there was close. It's got to be close. If it's a blowout, it's going to be bad.
Well, just win the game.
Just win the game.
Just win the game. And I will stand by this too. Kyren Samuels joins every week on Thursday, and I asked him about this last week. And you know, it's not a free shot anymore. And I know he's been annoyed by the conversation from Memphis fans about that game in general. But he says it's still Florida State. And here's the thing: even if they were a top 10 team in the country, and I agree with him from a former player standpoint, you should always expect to go win that game. You should always expect to go win a ball game on the road against a something like that.
If I had to guess, based on the conversations we have had with some of the players, they think they can win that game. I think that's there.
Yeah. There's no reason for them not to believe that they shouldn't be able to win.
Yeah, 5%. 5% is a bit low.
5% is low.
I've got belief in this Tigers team. I was really impressed with their game on Saturday.
Yeah,
very.
And it wasn't...
Their line looked really good.
It wasn't like the stat lines weren't unbelievable, but it was impressive how workmanlike and easy that dub was. And here's the other part about beating Troy. Most of your schedule is going to be very Troy-like. When you play a Middle Tennessee, when you play a North Texas, a Charlotte, a Rice, a UAB... That similar competition is what you just saw with Troy, and you saw how relatively easy that was, especially at home. Now, I will say, fan participation, 23,000 in the stands, I understand what type of year it is. Not great home games, not the full stadium at your disposal, so people are just rather watch it on their TV. But this is a inflection point year, and I feel like getting those stands as packed as possible, regardless of the opponents, the way that... that you need to go.
Right.
To potentially get this program with the positive momentum to where they want to go.
It was disappointing, I would say, especially with how the weather was on Saturday.
It was beautiful.
Gorgeous day. Gorgeous day. Now I'm part of the problem. I didn't go to the game. So I can't, I can't blame people too much. But I was slightly disappointed in the attendance. I thought it would be higher. Hopefully, as the team continues to win this season, we'll see those numbers go up by the end of the year. But it is a really important thing, and you can't ignore it. It's certainly there. Like 23,000, it's not great.
It's strange because, like, when it comes to basketball and people don't show up for certain games, whether the Ohio game or whatever at home that Memphis is going to play in the early season for basketball, like, if people don't show up to that game, you don't necessarily worry about it because it's like you have a lot of chances to get into FedEx Forum and you can recoup your losses, if you will. But for Memphis football, there's only six, seven opportunities to go do it, and I take every opportunity I can.
I wonder if the fiasco of trying to get into the game one had any impact.
Way better this week.
That's good. That's good.
Unbelievably. Like,
but
just
I do wonder
changed.
If people said it sounded like a mess trying to get down there. Right now it doesn't look pretty when you're down there. We'll just hang off for a little bit until they get the processes going a little bit better. So hopefully after reports of better processes this week, you may see an increase in attendance later on. Plus, if you win that Florida State game.
If you win the Florida, that's where I was going to go.
People are going to be there.
If you win the Florida State, the Navy game, and you come back home, I think that a lot more people will hop into the stands.
Sure.
And enjoy it. Not just John Moran.
Good start to the season, though.
Right.
I haven't had like cold sweat hit my body yet in the first 2 weeks of Memphis football, so that's a good thing.
Yep. Now, the rest of week two, Pretty damn interesting. I'll get to the group of five stuff in a second because Oregon almost... They almost screwed up everything for the University
of Memphis. We almost had to have Dan Lanning on to yell at him.
Yeah, right.
What are you doing?
But Ashton Jeanty's a stud. He's ridiculous.
But still.
He should be the... Him and I would say Quinn Ewers probably leaders for Heisman right now. And that's sort of how it should be. But I don't think Ashton Jeanty will stay there the entire year. Running backs just don't typically win that award anymore.
Hot take. If he scores 3 touchdowns a game...
I think he might
win the Heisman.
Maybe. But I still think it's going to be an uphill battle, even if he does get out, you know, that type of production.
He's got 9 touchdowns. That's crazy. Does he have 9 or 10?
I think we had our first true upset surprise of the year. Now, I understand, like, Georgia Tech beating Florida State, Boston College beating Florida State, certainly surprises. But Northern Illinois over Notre Dame, I don't know a human being in the world who had that. Northern Illinois goes into South Bend as 28-point dogs and wins with a game-winning field goal in the final minute. 35-yarder with 31 seconds to play. They win 16-14. I will say their head coach, Thomas Hammack, who's an alum of NIU, played football there. Like, seeing the emotion on his face and how elated he was to go win that game, that made it all worth it. And, you know, it's hard not to be poetic. It's hard not to be, you know, excited for guys like that when they spring upsets. Hey, we're talking about a team out of the MAC, though, going on the road and handling business against Notre Dame. And I heard the response from Marcus Freeman, the head coach of Notre Dame. And he said they bought into their hype too much after that Texas A&M game. Yeah, sure. But you cannot, by any stretch of the imagination, sit here and act as if Northern Illinois, under any circumstances, sure, they can cover a 28-point spread against you, but you cannot in any way call that a trap game.
No.
That's absolutely insane. But Riley Leonard was bad.
Is bad. It just is bad. I'm so unimpressed by him. It felt like to me last week they won despite him. I don't know. I've never been a Riley Leonard guy.
One thing that has been true for me, because he's been talked about in, like, you know, previously when he was at Duke, NFL draft circles, athletic, we'll see what he can do with his arm. He's very athletic, in my opinion. He's always been way more impressive with his legs than his arm, but 11 carries for 16 yards, not good. Just not good if you want to go win a game with Riley Leonard as your starting quarterback. But he had 163 yards and 2 interceptions. That's how he ended his game. Didn't have a single passing touchdown. You're not going to win a lot of ball games that way. No, I think Notre Dame will respond. I still like their defense. They're still really good. But to lose that game to Northern Illinois, you have lost just about all of your wiggle room the rest of the season. Now, Notre Dame does not have some ridiculous schedule. But if you can lose a game to Northern Illinois, you can lose a game to just about anybody left. Purdue... Well, maybe not Miami of Ohio, although it is another MAC team. Louisville, Stanford, Georgia Tech, Navy, Florida State, Virginia, Army, USC. There's another loss out there for them based on what I saw this week. And this was a team after week one we were lauding as, okay, top five team, likely going to be in the 12-team playoff, even though they can't have a top four seed. I'm not believing that anymore.
It was funny because I watched that entire game because it was kind of that middle of the day game that you watch in between
that went,
others.
That went into the night games.
Yeah, it was just the night it was game. The okay, this game is on. I'm going to watch it for a little bit, watch Notre Dame kind of take care of business, and then I'll flip over to something else. And it just became a football game all of a sudden. And Northern Illinois was just straight up out physicaling.
Yeah,
Notre Dame. It was they had more pride. And they went in there and punched them in the mouth and kept on punching them in the face. What was crazy to me is how does Jeremiah Love only run the ball 11 times?
I don't know.
Like, what are you doing? That. The first quarter, he looked amazing. And then Marcus Freeman was like, nah, we're going to throw the ball 30 times. What are you doing?
There comes a point with Riley Leonard, and I think we've reached that now. They're going to have to decide to you know, put it in his hands rushing the ball a lot more than they're doing with their passing game. He shouldn't be throwing the ball, especially in a MAC matchup against NIU where the game's close most of the game. He shouldn't be throwing the ball 32 times. There's just no real excuse.
And Ontario Brown for Northern Illinois was awesome, dude.
Stunned.
So good.
Had some juice. I was impressed with him, man. I was super impressed. He's kind of beefy. He's got that Mario Anderson Jr. build, man. 20 carries, 99 yards, 2 catches for 126 and a touchdown. And he had that long of 83. That was impressive
man,
stuff.
Man, Notre Dame, before the game, was so nonchalant about things. Marcus Freeman was being interviewed, and he was all smiles. And to be quite honest, he was talking like Russell Wilson. And then they interviewed Riley Leonard, and he was, like, playing around and stuff. And then they just cut to both of them in the second quarter, and it was like they saw death before them. It just, man, I was so impressed by Northern Illinois. But that Notre Dame team, I cannot believe that happened. But for me watching the game, I was just screaming, run the football.
Give it to Jeremiah Love.
Run the damn
Love.
Ball. They only gave Jeremiah Love 11 rushes. That is crazy to me. Yep. It is insane to me. With how that game began, you just thought they were going to run it down their throat the entire game. And then they were like, no, we're going to try to throw it 32 times. What are you doing?
Yeah, just a foolish game plan in the grand scheme of things. Colorado got absolutely hammered. 28-0. It was a bad look too. It just looked miserable. And I am going to continue to ask this question because it's the most notable question when it comes to that Colorado football team. Where did they get better where they needed to get better?
Nowhere.
What they did is got absolutely owned up front. Their O-line's no good. Their D-line's no good. Dylan Raiola didn't even have to do that much.
The offensive line. Holy crap.
Shedeur Sanders, I think rightfully got gone after that game. When he said, like, basically, without saying, my O-line can't block.
How many times did Raiola get touched?
How many times did Dylan Raiola get touched? I still think his pick six was one of the big inflection points of that game. It's a really bad decision. Throwing it from the left hash all the way, right hash all the way over to the left side of the field, and just an easy pick six. It was a little loopy ball. Didn't put any, you know, zip behind that ball at all. That was the easiest play for Nebraska the entire game, and I think that carried them throughout the game. Like, you saw Colorado immediately lose any type of edge they had after that.
Undisciplined.
Yeah, they are. And then Shedeur Sanders leaving 2 minutes early, heading into the locker room. Just bad look for that Colorado team. And now you just look at what they wanted to accomplish this year, getting back to a bowl game. I'm sorry. I know Nebraska is a solid team, and they had I think 7.5 was their win total, and I think they can get through.
Impressive win by them.
They're number 23 in the country, so that win meant something to people around the country because it finally shows Nebraska can at least break through and win the games that they're supposed to win. In the past, they have peed down their leg in the fourth quarter.
I mean, they lost Colorado last year.
But at the same time, this Colorado team, just looking on their side, it's really hard for me to imagine them making a bowl game this year.
What have you made of Dylan Raiola?
Really good player. Really good player.
Moves well.
The Patrick Mahomes cosplay is a lot.
Here's what I'm going to say about that.
Honestly, it's very intentional.
It's a bit annoying.
It does not seem like that's just like his normal swag. I think he got that from Patrick
Mahomes. It's 100% copy and paste that he's trying to do. And he's leaning into it a little bit much, but you also kind of want your quarterback to be a bit of a lunatic, so I don't really have too much problem with it. He doesn't have near the arm strength that people are trying to pretend he does. When he's on the run and throwing, it's just, to be quite honest, I think he's a good quarterback. I have not been impressed by his arm strength. Like, he was underthrowing guys constantly in that game, and he was missing wide open guys. So, but again, he's a freshman quarterback, so he's going to make some mistakes. True freshman quarterback. So he'll make mistakes here and there. But if you want to make the Mahomes comps, and you better be able to air it out
80 yards.
Yeah, which he cannot do. He was like, a lot of their big plays happened because he underthrew a guy and the receiver made a good play.
But he was 23 for 30, 185, one TD.
I'm just telling you. I watched that whole game.
No,
that
I got it too.
Was not there.
It's not there, but I mean,
there was no zip.
I'm not going to sit here and say you don't need arm strength to be a great quarterback, but I think when you take care of the football, and you make the right plays, like it seems like Dylan Raiola, even as a true freshman, has made through two games, I think that's just about all you need to be a good college football quarterback. And we'll see at the next level, you're going to need some more arm strength, a little more zip on your ball. But right now, I think it works.
He doesn't take unnecessary risks.
He's certainly the best quarterback they've had Scott Frost era going into Matt Rhule. So it's hard for me to be super critical of what he's
doing. The arm strength thing is just about the Mahomes comps. It is. I think for a freshman quarterback, he's looked good.
Tennessee looks good.
Dude, Tennessee looks great.
51-10.
Dog walked him.
Yeah, and Nico Iamaleava, he threw two picks, didn't matter.
They're pretty, though.
You know, yeah, of course. He's got arm strength,
by the way. He certainly has arm strength, yes.
But Dylan Sampson's been the unsung hero through two games. He had another game over 100 yards rushing, 20 carries, 132 yards, two TDs. That team, certainly a top 10 team in the country. That's why they were ranked number 7 in the AP poll. But to beat a 24-ranked NC State team 51-10, when you're at a neutral site that's basically in their backyard, it's impressive as hell. And the biggest thing that Tennessee showed me this week, that defense, they looked like an SEC defense. They were faster, they were stronger, and they were bigger than NC State.
Real fast. Real fast. Before the season started, you kept telling people, do not underestimate the running game of Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. And I think we do that with, like, Ole Miss and with Tennessee. And I think they're sort of similar. It's like, is their defense going to catch up? You know, are they too pass happy? Don't underestimate what they can do in between the tackles and how much that Josh Heupel is going to scheme up the run to try to open up the pass. And I think that helps. And the other part that helps, Nico Amoliava has some legs.
Yes.
He has some legs, too. That helps their run game.
Nico, it reminds me of watching Hendon Hooker again.
Group of five ranks this week. Boise State looks really good. I don't think I can hide that fact. They stuck in there with Oregon on the road. Ashton Jeanty, another 192-yard performance, three touchdowns. their quarterback, Maddox Madsen, keeps them on pace. Oregon almost screwed it up for everybody.
I was freaking out.
Yeah.
I was, like, genuinely freaking out. Because I was like, if Boise State wins this game, Memphis is going to have to go undefeated and win a conference championship and then pray that Boise State loses another game.
And elsewhere in that three-horse race, we talked about Memphis, Boise State, and Boise State looks good. They're holding up their end of the bargain for the most part. Let's go out to the Conference USA for a second. Liberty, buddy, show me something now or I'm going to take you off of my short list. 30-24 against New Mexico State. Scared against New Mexico State. After last week playing very close against Campbell, I know you have a good offense. Show me something else. I need something a little bit. And your offense, quite frankly, against Campbell, you should probably have more than 41 points. Against New Mexico State, probably more than 30. Liberty, I think, is very close to being replaced in this conversation right now. I still think they have an easy schedule, so we'll see. But App State, I would imagine, can easily beat them.
Come on, App State.
And then you have UNLV hung 72 on Utah Tech, whoever the hell that was. So there's that. But I don't think there's this. Northern Illinois, I guess, kind of put themselves in the conversation, even though I thought the putting them at 25 in the AP poll just for winning that game.
That's a little much. That's too much.
It's a little much.
That's crazy.
It's like sometimes you have some. Let them do it again. Do it again. Then we can start.
Where were they last week? Where were they heading into the game?
No votes. Nothing.
Nothing. They went from no votes to a top 25 team. Come on.
That doesn't make sense.
That's silly.
That doesn't make any sense to me. But outside of those four teams, really, I mean, I guess Tulane, they lost.
I was going to say Tulane, but they showed well.
They showed well, but they still lost. Mm-hmm. So that loses them some wiggle room. So I think Memphis is still in a good spot. Still in a good spot. And thankfully, Oregon was able to run that final drive down to the, what was it, first and goal. They finally kicked the field goal. Luckily, they were able to come down and win that game by 3.
What'd you make of USF?
Good. Really good. That fourth quarter, though, they ran out of steam. They ran out of steam pretty substantially. Still like Byron Brown. Still like their offense. Alex Golish seems like he knows what he's doing. But seeing that fourth quarter kind of screwed me up. 28 points
in one quarter. It felt like the moment got to them.
It was kind of the closest 42-16 game you've ever seen or whatever.
It was. Man, because I was watching, I think it was still on when Oregon-Boise State had just started or something. Like, they were playing around the same time. And I remember we flipped over to the Boise State-Oregon game for a little bit, and then I flipped it back, and I was like, what the hell happened? Part of me was like, was I reading the score wrong? Like, was it not 17-16 at one point?
I did leave one name out in the group of five, Texas State. Did you see what they did to UTSA?
No.
49-10.
Ooh.
49-10. So I think I lean away from UTSA, lean into Texas State after seeing that result.
College Football 25 loves Texas State. They're always in that playoff.
Yeah, Jordan McLeod's a good quarterback. Really good quarterback. Did a really good job at James Madison.
I'm excited for this week, though.
Yep, 100%.
I think the Tigers can do it. I'll give them a 35-40% chance.
So you know what we'll do? We need to grab a break, but we'll talk about that game,
mm-hmm.
and we'll also talk some Tiger basketball next with my guy from Bluff City Media, Roman Cleary. He'll be next. Roman Cleary is the Memphis basketball beat writer for Bluff City Media. He's on X at Ro A Cleary, and he joins me now. Roman, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to talk to Tigers today.
Define excitement, at least when it comes to basketball.
I don't know, man. It's been such a nice, zen, chill week. I even had an opportunity to go on one of those, you know, wellness retreats that Aaron Rodgers went to like a year ago. It was a nice, invigorating experience. I'm obviously all refreshed and relaxationed up.
Roman, you didn't strike me as an ayahuasca guy, but you know what? I learn something new every day. This is how I'm going to term it for you. I just want your overarching opinion on last week. What did you make of the four coaches fired? We'll get to the letter in a second, but the anonymous letter, like all of those things spiraling out of control 2 months before the season. What was your overall reaction to what we saw?
Well, I mean, when I first heard of the news, I was just as surprised as anyone. I actually found out what was happening about an hour and a half before all hell broke loose in terms of the breaking stories and the reporting. Of course, the initial names that I think we all reported on Tuesday night that were going to be fired were Faraji Phillips, Jamie Rosser, and Jermaine Johnson. And then we get to the announcement from Penny Hardaway via the athletic department the next Wednesday morning. And it turns out that Jermaine is actually going to remain, and it's actually going to be Rick Stansberry and Demetrius Dyson who are joining Faraji and Jamie on the unemployment line there. So obviously there was a lot of, you know, turnover happening from that perspective there.
Yeah, and Penny did speak to John Rothstein about what happened last week. It was a little bit strange to me. He said, for everyone else, it's a coaching tree, and for me, it's turnover. So if you want to understand what turnover is, it's a group of young men and men who went on to do better. I might not have had a coaching position for them or went on, blah, blah, blah. He went on for a while. He said, I don't understand why this is unheard of for you guys who have been in the business for a long time. It's not unheard of to make a lot of changes, sweeping changes, on a coaching staff when you have an inflection point year like he's about to have. The unheard-of part, though, Roman, without question, is the timing. 2 months before the season, it feels like he didn't quite acknowledge that part of it. He did acknowledge it in the statement he put out last week, but not with John.
No, he absolutely did not. Obviously, as he noted, and as I think we've all noted in one way, shape, or form, the timing is far from ideal. You're 2 months out from the season. Now, I will say, Memphis would not be doing this if it didn't feel at least somewhat confident in the staff that has to fall back on. You know, of course, right. they brought in Mike Davis from Detroit Mercy, obviously a former Indiana coach who took the Hoosiers to the Final Four 20 or so years ago, has been less successful in D1 head coaching since then, but he's still been in the game for 20-plus years, brings a wealth of experience to that staff. So obviously, I think most people would say he's a good addition. Nolan Smith is expected to begin his duties sooner rather than later. I think we've all been kind of expecting that for a while. And Jermaine, as much baggage as he brings, of course, he's going to now be that third assistant, presumably at least. And again, as much controversy as Jermaine Johnson has kind of brought to the table in recent years with shuffling in and out of the staff in various roles, he is nonetheless a pretty brilliant basketball mind, if you really think about it.
Yep.
In the 1 year that he was a full-time assistant in 2020-2021, Memphis, if you remember, finished number one in adjusted defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. And a lot of people, you know, in that program, from players to other coaches, have largely credited Jermaine Johnson with that accomplishment. So
yep.
From a basketball perspective, Memphis has a pretty solid staff to fall back on here.
Right.
So I can understand why Penny felt more comfortable doing this than the average coach would. But at the same time, you know, it's just more turnover, more controversy, more drama. And the reality is that people wouldn't care as much if Memphis had gotten the results last season or the season before that or whatever that, you know, fans wanted or it wanted. But the reality is that Memphis has not, you know, got to that point. It hasn't, you know, reached the second weekend. It hasn't won a conference regular season title since Penny Hardaway got hired in March of 2018. So, I mean, people are going to continue to pay attention to these various happenings, whether it's coaching staff changes or NCAA violations or whatever. They're going to put more of an emphasis on that until Memphis finally turns the corner. It wants to there.
It's not necessarily what happens, it's how it happens and the timing of everything. And I just think, I opened up the phone lines last Friday, and it just feels like there's a lot of fans that are exhausted, and I completely understand that for the most part. Now, let's get to this anonymous letter. It alleges $30,000 given to DeAndre Williams from, I believe, Jermaine Johnson's pocket, $60,000 to Emmanuel Acott, who never actually played here, but also it does allege the academic fraud that, you know, Malcolm Dandridge was under the microscope for at the end of last season. It was an anonymously sourced letter, though. Like, that's the thing. But how surprised were you that the University of Memphis actually acknowledged it, sent it in the NCAA?
I was surprised that they acknowledged it just for the simple fact that they did not have to.
Yep.
They have no, they have no real obligation to acknowledge the letter publicly. They could have easily turned it over to the NCAA behind the scenes and let it do its work. But instead, when Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated first presented to them the letter, they acknowledged it when they could have easily said something like, "We don't respond to anonymous allegations," or "We have no comment on this at this time." But that they acknowledged it, they made it clear to the media that they turned it over to the NCAA, and then all of a sudden, everyone, including myself, goes with the whole, "I have obtained a copy of the anonymous letter."
Yes. But
the letter's out there. I mean, anyone can get it. I'm sure.
Yeah.
For those listening, if you don't have a copy of the letter by now, I'm sure someone you know probably does.
Yeah.
But it's out there. People are aware of this, and it's just it's honestly just been kind of unnecessary. This was not something that Memphis had to do. I know Ed Scott has kind of come in and created this culture of transparency and honesty, but I just don't know if this was the correct course of action for Memphis here. A program that, again, has already dealt with so much off-the-court drama, and now you've created an even bigger story than the one with the coaching staff changes there. I just don't exactly see the process as to why you would do that.
Does it signify anything to you that they did acknowledge it and put it out in the public?
I mean, you can definitely speculate that.
Sure. Yeah. This is Sports Talk Radio, Roman. No, this is your first time here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. But truth of the matter, there's some informed speculation that we do here. Yeah. But did it say to you, where you sit, what did it signify to you?
I mean, it perhaps signifies that there is maybe some legitimacy to these said allegations. Of course, we've all been kind of familiar with the Malcolm Dandridge academic scandal. Since I reported that back in February, but we learned some new details about that, or at least some new alleged details about that. And of course, that was the first time I think any of us had really heard about, the alleged payments towards DeAndre Williams or Emmanuel Acott. And I'm sure Memphis gets confronted. I'm sure all schools get confronted with some sort of, anonymous allegations all the time. But the fact that Memphis did choose to not only acknowledge it, but be fully transparent in the fact that it has been turned over to the NCAA, it definitely does raise the question, how legitimate are these said allegations by whoever wrote this anonymous letter?
All of these things, you mentioned Ed Scott and his attitude and like what he's doing and taking over the program. How much of this do you think stems from Ed Scott and his involvement and seeing how the program's run? Do you think this was advice given to Penny? He did say on the airwaves on Friday with Jeff Calkins, which I do applaud him for, by the way, he was very well prepared, and he didn't have to do that in that moment because this is a tough moment for the athletic department. He said that these were Penny Hardaway's decisions, but I would have to imagine, and this is a little more speculation, Roman, I'd have to imagine there's definitely been some pretty strong advisement from the new athletic director, Ed Scott, toward Penny Hardaway and the way the program's being run.
That actually is not speculation, Gabe. At the end of the day, Ed Scott can, say whatever he wants publicly about this. He gave a very good, in-depth, honest, transparent, interview with Jeff on Friday. But the reality is that he's not being truthful about the way that the coaching situation went down.
Right.
Ed was very much involved with the moves that were made on Wednesday morning. I can tell you this, of the four names that were let go by Penny on Wednesday morning. Ed Scott, I was at least from what I, you know, from what I've heard, at least he was very involved in three of those four decisions.
Yes.
Now the fourth one was completely a Penny call. I'm not going to get into specifics
right.
of the name.
I think we know which one you're talking about, but yes,
who was involved and who was not. But the reality is that three of those four decisions, Ed Scott had a very definite influence over, and they likely would not have happened if not for Ed Scott's advisement or involvement there. From what I understand, it was kind of a situation of, hey, look, the NCAA is on us again. We have to create a better image here. And if you're not going to make some changes, I'm going to.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened from my understanding.
And what do you think of Ed Scott's, like, sort of putting himself in this position? What have you thought of his leadership through the first, what, 7-8 weeks of his tenure as the AD?
Honestly, I think he's been everything you could expect and, honestly, you could hope for as well. I've heard nothing but very positive things about Ed from, you know, multiple standpoints. He's a fantastic talker, as we all know. He's a great, you know, fundraiser. He's really good at getting people to trust him behind the scenes. From what I'm told, you're going to know exactly where you stand with him when you're working under him. So I think Ed has done a phenomenal job overall.
Yep. Now, final thing, we have Memphis versus Florida State next weekend, or coming up this weekend, 11 a.m. on the road. We know Florida State's 0-2. How do you feel about that game?
Ooh, I mean, it's a tough one for Memphis football, right? Because you're going into Tallahassee. It's a really tough environment. But now, with Florida State being 0-2 and losing the, you know, pretty mediocre teams in both Georgia Tech and Boston College, I mean, those are two schools that are likely going to be middling to, you know, lower-tier ACC programs. So it's a spot where, unfortunately, for Memphis college football hopes, college football playoff hopes, I quite frankly think it's a must-win.
Okay.
Unfortunately for Memphis.
Okay, we'll see how it all plays out. I don't know if it's must-win. I would just disagree with that. I you're definitely entitled to your opinion, though, on that.
I don't know. I mean, Florida State's probably looking at what, after its first 2 weeks, what, a 7-5, 8-4-ish campaign?
And I think that would be great for them. That would be the highest hopes, almost.
Yeah, perhaps even lower than that. If Memphis ends up with a loss to a group that ends up with a 500 record in the ACC, how good is that going to look to the committee, especially
right.
after a team like Boise State just took Oregon down to the wire, Tulane. It's AAC fellow member.
UNLV, heck.
Yeah, took Kansas State down to the wire. You know, Northern Illinois just won at Notre Dame. Now, Northern Illinois is obviously not going to be in these conversations long term, but you kind of get the point there.
Yeah.
The margin for error here to get that.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Group of five playoff spot, it's very low at this point.
And I will say this. If they win this game, you just provide yourself a lot more wiggle room. If you lose it, there's no wiggle room.
Yeah, no. You can't afford to lose any game in the American if you lose Florida State, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and their American Conference schedule is not easy. It just isn't.
No, it's not.
Florida looked good.
You're at South Florida. You're at Tulane. You get no of the tough opponents at home. It's not a very good draw.
Yep, 100%. Well, Roman, great stuff, man. We'll do this again soon.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That's Roman Cleary at Ro A Clear on X, Memphis basketball beat writer for Bluff City Media. Thought he did a heck of a job. And I'll bring him on the show here relatively soon. Well done by Roman. Now let's go ahead and grab a break, and we'll get into hour number two coming up next. We'll talk a little bit about this, but mostly college football. I want to escape this conversation for a little bit with David Cobb from CBS Sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.